Hey everyone, Jim Phoenix here, and today we got a special Streaming Demons. It's the Val Kilmer one, with a new special co-host for today, with Amelie from somewhere. All this more on today. And yes, we can see us. Ooh, how swank. Hello. You can see what you do as I play my music. Well, I guess nothing. Oh my god, that's like, here we go. Press the button once, Jimbo. I don't have a drink today. I usually drink something for my voice, and I just don't have it today. Wow. I know. So you're doing like the little dance, I'm doing the wow. Today's go-go dancing brought to you by... I think it's good enough, yeah?
Would be good.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, kids. That's actually Letterman. The Hey Kids, that's come from Dave Letterman. I grew up on Letterman. Well, first of all, if you're new to Streaming Demons, it's season 4. Go backwards in time, listen to all of them or not, I don't know. But if you want to watch new ones, this is the one where we're at today. It's the Val Kilmer episode. It's the one we've been trying to do for a couple weeks now and get to do it. And with me, I've got a very special guest with Amelie. Amelie, say hello.
Hello.
That is her actual voice.
Yeah,
You know, the funny thing is you've actually known me for 15 years and I didn't even know that until yesterday you were telling me this.
Yes, we had a fight. Yeah.
And it was like 15 years.
15 years, Jim.
Yeah, I didn't realize like how old are you? Like, how you can't be that old. I'm like, oh my God, you are? Like, what the hell?
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy because I met you, I was 18, 19 years old. And you were this magnificent 34-year-old athlete, taekwondo champion.
Hold on.
Professor, right? Yes.
Oh, God, yes. Okay, my ego's back. Yes, here we go. Ego, keep going.
Yes. So, university teacher who
definitely
were from America, but studied in England. Once you have a PhD, you know, like amazing.
Damn,
and
sexy.
Top of the top, cherry on the top, crème de la crème.
Ginger.
You were a geek, meaning...
Oh, I think I say ginger. Fuck, man. Whatever.
No, because in French, geek is somebody who likes Superman, you know, Wonder Woman, this kind of thing. And I'm like, oh my God, is that possible? And that was me, the shy little French, saying, excuse me, sir, I have a question. Do you know Donjons et Dragons? Donjons et Dragons. Do you play Donjons et Dragons with the dice? You know the dice.
Yeah.
Yes.
D20.
Yes, I do.
Event.
And I was like, oh, wow. He's a sportsman. He's an American with the American accent because you were not speaking like the English people. Like, you were like. American people, when they speak like this. When you don't speak English. So I was like, wow. Oh my goodness. I was starstruck. Is that the correct term? Starstruck.
Yeah, apparently so. Shit, I should have you on every fucking episode. You're so good for my ego. I appreciate you. I do.
I was starstruck. But it's crazy because you were over the top. Like you were 2 meters tall, built like Superman, very fit. And you were so nice. And you were like clean shaved because in France, you have the moustache or the beard, etc. You were clean shaved. And you have this fantastic jawline. With very long, with a little facet here, like just like Superman American. Look at me, I'm an American. Yeah, and I look like an American, and I smell America, and I came from America, and I'm so perfect and over the top. However, I was disappointed with your family name, but I won't reveal your family name. I was like,
thank you.
Yeah,
Phoenix.
Yeah.
I might actually break kayfabe today, but I appreciate that. It's no, I'm not actually paying her to say that stuff. I don't think I am.
No. But what is really interesting is we kept friends for 15 years. Yeah. I traveled the world. I did a lot of things, etc. And you were always there for me, technically, to speak, to talk, to give some guideline and stuff like that. And I really appreciate that. But I don't know why we kept just in touch, even if I was in Australia, Asia, during COVID.
Yeah.
I participate, I think now it's my third time to the podcast. The first time around was for a French movie, Les Yeux Sans Visage. The second time around,
I just Billy Idol.
Correct, yes. Yeah. So, no, it's interesting because that's an example I will give to the next generation, any people who work with me, my kids, etc. It's you will have friendship who lasts 4 years and friendship who lasts 2 years or 6 months. But it's the evolution of it. Because I became really good and fluent in English, because I had my own life experience, and because we have some common points, you like movies, I like movies, you like literature, etc.
Jane Kahn.
You like a crazy funny t-shirt, I like crazy funny t-shirt. And the bad and the ugly, like for example, I'm very sick, I've got Crohn's disease. I'm very proud of my disease technically because I want to show people it's not because you have Crohn's disease, you can't have a life, right?
Right.
I travel the world, I've got kids, I'm fine, I do things.
Yeah, you travel the world with Crohn's disease, and I don't want to bring, I'm not going to bring anyone's personal until they bring it up first, but you travel the world of Crohn's disease in places that didn't have bathrooms. That's amazing to me. Like, you went to places like in the middle of fucking jungles.
Oh, you can
swear on this podcast, by the way.
So I'm going to agree to disagree, as my husband said. So, yes, I went to places where there is no toilet at all. So it's, as we call, Turkish toilet. You need to see there is a hole and you go for it. There's places where I had to go to the nature and a bucket. But I don't mind because at the hospital, when you are really, really underweight and you need to be in a special ward, they make you poop in a bucket. So I rather prefer being in the middle of the jungle or in the outback, for example. Do my thing and see the kangaroo away. In Malaysia jungle, you're talking about, it's very clean. There is always a toilet and they are actually very, very clean. Yeah.
So in Malaysia, the fucking jungle.
Yes. Malaysia, the interesting thing is it's a jungle island and it's a Muslim island. So there is different religion, but the biggest religion, let's say, it's Muslim. In the Muslim religion, you need to clean your hand, you need to take off your shoes, put new shoes, clean your feet before going to the toilet. You go to the toilet. Then they have bidets. There's a little shower you can use to clean yourself. Then you clean the toilet for the following person. You go to the sink, you clean your hand, and then you clean your feet, and then you get out, and you can put back your shoes on. And in any restaurant, even in the middle of nowhere, there is always a little sink to clean your hand before going to eat. They're very, very clean.
Yeah, that's very good. I didn't know that was in the middle of the jungle too. So that's cool, but I still appreciate all of this and travels. And then you traveled all the way back to be with a podcast with me for Val Kilmer. Yeah. We're talking about Val a bit today. And I'm thanking you for taking time. We didn't set this podcast up except for like an hour and a half ago, I think.
Correct.
And it was basically a text like, hey, do you know anything about Val Kilmer movies? Like, yeah, sure. Okay, you want to talk about them? Sure.
Sure, but with the kind of people who talk about Butcher, then Batman, then who is the best Sherlock Holmes, and after, should I buy a toilet for my butthole? And you say
no. I think you should buy that toilet seat for your butthole.
Yes.
I think your butthole will thank me.
Whole toilet, special toilet, like Japanese toilet.
Yes, no, honestly. Yeah, but I didn't know how much I was missing out until I used mine. I'm like, what the hell? I have one in my upstairs bathroom and nothing, like just a regular one in my regular piece of shit toilet in my downstairs bath. And like when I have people over, I'm like, I'll use a downstairs one. I'm like, oh, the seat's cold. Like, why is the seat so fucking cold? Like, oh, that's right. Because it's not warmed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do I have to keep, oh, that's right. Because I don't have like water shooting at my ass. That's why.
Toilet I saw was in Normandy in a hotel. Yeah. So you would sit, there were bidet, and also when you push the button to evacuate, automatically the seat moves with a plastic band around to protect the toilet.
We must protect the toilet at all costs.
Perfect. Yeah.
Well, today's Streaming Demons toilet talk.
Yeah.
We'll go into the Val stuff, but I do really think you should get that toilet seat. If you need, let me know.
Okay.
I'm going to go through a list of movies. I know you grew up in France. I think we can say that. It's the northern part, right? The northern part?
Correct. At the border of Belgium.
Okay. I'm going to go through some movies that I honestly didn't know what was first movie for Val Kilmer was. And I'll probably talk a little bit about Val Kilmer while I'm doing this later on. But I'm going to go through some movies and just let me know if you know what the movie was.
Okay.
And it's the English title, so it might be something else in French. So
okay.
Top Secret, where he plays this rock and roll star that goes to Germany, back when there's two Germanys?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, do you remember that one? Was that ever done in France?
Probably. Okay,
if not. Real Genius, or I think the French title was like Real Genius, where he's this kid at some boarding school. They develop a laser that kills everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that one. Okay. Willow. Which I'm surprised.
Yes.
Okay. I'll be surprised if you didn't know Willow, because that's the whole Dungeons and Dragons type spiel right there, you know? So you saw Willow. How old were you when you saw Willow? Do you remember? Like kid?
I saw it many times. I think I was 8 years old when I saw it for the first time, and then 13. You know, that's the kind of movie, like a never-ending story you watch when you're a kid and you remember.
True. No, that's a weird thing. It's because it came out in 88, so I must have been like 8 years old as well. Except I saw it in the theater. You saw it on like TV, like kind of VHS. And like, I saw it in the theater. Yeah, it's the thing that kind of sticks with you, and he doesn't carry the movie. He doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called Val Kilmer. It's called Will.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV show, did you watch the TV show? I think it was 2 years ago. They came out with a TV show. It was kind of, it got canceled after one season for a reason. They tried to reboot it from like 1988 to 2023 and just did not work out.
That's difficult to reboot things.
Especially about
there's stuff you don't want to reboot. I don't want them to reboot Never Ending Story. I'm telling you, if they do it, I set myself on fire.
And I'll be there with the torch.
Could you imagine? So, ladies and gentlemen, do you remember our guest Amelie? Well, now she's going to set herself on fire. Here, please.
Jimi Hendrix version of it. Hopefully not the monk protest. Speaking of fire, The Doors. Did you see The Doors movie?
Ah, the Doors movie. Oh, just a moment. Because Because The Doors, for me, it's the rock movie, Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
The Doors movie?
That's him. That's him.
It was him?
Yeah.
No, and Carl Bo- yes, I know, I right? It. I love hey, that Mike? Movie.
All right.
No, it's him.
Yeah.
No, it's him. I didn't recognize him. I watched it several times. I didn't know it was him.
No, he'd love that. No, he would absolutely love that.
Oh, la. That's the beauty of this actor I was telling you before the start of the podcast. He is not known or as famous or recognized like George Clooney. If you say to French people, George Clooney, yeah,
we know. Problem.
We know him, blah, blah, blah. If you say Val Kilmer, people are like, oh, I heard about that name. And me with a cinephile, when I was, let's say, 11 years old, I thought Val Kilmer was a woman. Like
didn't
a blonde, tall woman with long leg, like very sexy, you know, like the typical American stuff. Because my dad would say, actually, yes, George Clooney and Val Kilmer play in that movie. I'm like, oh, Val Kilmer, Valerie Kilmer, yeah, Val Kilmer. I imagine, like, hi, I'm Val Kilmer. I'm an American actress. Sensuality, beauty, you see? And no, he is an actor. But the thing I really like about Val Kilmer is he's recognized and known as an excellent actor. And how can I say? It's just a chameleon. Like, everybody recognize he is a good actor. He's not in People magazine like Brad Pitt. Like, I like Brad Pitt, but the problem is Brad Pitt is so beautiful and there's so many scandals. I'm like, is he just like a Sprite or a Coca-Cola, or is he an actual good actor? Leonardo DiCaprio, yes. Joaquin Phoenix, yes.
River Phoenix,
Brad
used
Pete.
To be yes. But Val Kilmer, yes, then.
Yes.
Because especially if you didn't even know it was him, I think that says a lot. And the Doors movie is kind of like it's not the reason I meet him later on. It's because of the Doors movie we had a chance to like hang out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the speciality of it was, holy shit. When I saw him do the Doors, I'm like, oh my God, that really is it. And we'll get back to that. But that was actually him singing too.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
That's him singing.
Oh, la. No way.
I'm blowing her away today.
I wait. I am completely because I watched it after you talked about Jimi Hendrix, because I really like Jimi Hendrix as a person. Like, he's an interesting person. He used to be obese, fat. He lost a bunch of weight after university.
Morrison. Or Hendrix or Morrison?
Oh, fuck. Tell the story, Joe. Jim, tell the story. Tell the story of Prague. The story of what I did in Prague. The insult. The insult I make in Prague. Tell it.
I can't remember, but it's something like you were like talking about Jimi Hendrix, but he actually said something about like Jimmy Dean, or it was something really bizarro land like
something
that. You called Jimi
like
Hendrix.
That. We like,
oh, yeah, oh, that's what it was. It's a guy playing the music.
Yes.
Like, oh, and this is a great Jimi Hendrix song. It's like the Monkees.
And no, and you looked at me and you're like, really? And I looked at you and I'm like, my brain is like, fucking idiots. There is one thing you need to say. This is your moment. It's a beautiful sunny day. You need to say to your friends, I know what you like. I remember because I know you for so many times. Let me be the intellectual woman. Oh, isn't it fantastic? The beautiful sun, the building of Prague, and oh, Jimi Hendrix. And it's like, no. Yeah, it's a, and I couldn't find the name of the door. So I say, yeah, the group, you know, the window.
The windows.
The windows. The windows. And you're like, the doors? And I'm like, yeah.
They both work. Window and door, it's all good.
Yeah.
You walk through one, you get the other one.
Yeah, the windows.
Yeah. But no, but that was actually him singing through it. Like, that's, most people maybe not know that, but yeah. Okay, then I know you know this one. We won't go through Thunderheart or something like that, but Tombstone. We talked about that one. Tombstone, you see him again. If you look at the Doors, where he had the weight, and Tombstone, he's playing Doc Holliday. He loses almost everything to play a person dying of tuberculosis. Tuberculosis. I can't talk today. So you see all these things kind of transform, and then the big one for you, Batman Forever, which is weird because I don't think anyone thinks that's the best Batman movie.
No, it is not. It is not. And it is really strange because it's an excellent example as cinephile, as you and I, of it's not because you've got A-list actor, bankable, who makes the movie good. You know what I mean? Like, for example, we were talking today about our favorite Batman. Yeah, because when we have conversation, we talk about Batman.
True.
Why not? And I told you my favorite Batman, it's Tim Burton version, because Catwoman is fantastic. The guy who played Batman was not supposed to be a Batman, but he's doing so well. Now everybody, whenever they think about Batman, they think about that guy. Point. Here we have excellent actors who are known around the world. And no, it didn't work. I watched it as a little girl. I watched it with my dad. And we were like, meh. It lacked the heart. It lacked the emotion. Like, for example, when you watch Tim Burton did Tim Burton, but it's cartoonesque. So even if you like the comics, you're like, yeah, it's a comics. The penguin is fantastic. There's penguin everywhere. Here, you have the fantastic Canadian actor.
Jim Carrey.
Merci. Jim Carrey. And he's great. I like him as a villain. He's great. Like, he has a facial expression. He plays, etc. And I'm like, great, amazing. That guy did the mask. He will, for sure, succeed to do that character. Nope.
It was really weird. I think because this Batman Forever was hindered by not so much the acting or the directing, or not the directing, but not so much the acting or the choices of cast. It is pretty much hindered by like the bat suit. Like, if Kilmer is always saying he couldn't even move in it. He can't move his neck. So he can't really act anything because he can't see. He has to be straight ahead. Mm-hmm. There was no way to move his actual neck.
Mm-hmm.
It was a molded on. So he can't see anything. And he's trying to walk. And it's like, it's stiff as hell. And then you have Tommy Lee Jones, who has all this makeup prosthetics. And he's kind of overdoing it a bit. And you've got Nicole Kidman coming back. And then you just got, for no reason whatsoever, Chris O'Donnell playing Robin. No reason whatsoever. As like a 35-year-old Robin.
Other woman, she was playing Catwoman, I think. The blonde girl.
Catwoman, I was, I think, the one before, and that's going to be, Michelle Pfeiffer.
No. There is, in that movie,
Drew Barrymore is in this movie as well.
And after Robin, there is a blonde girl who plays a sort of bad girl, I think.
Well, that's
and
Drew Barrymore is,
I think,
is
if I remember correct, yes. And she's the butler, the niece, and he's dying. And Batman is sad because his best friend is dying.
There's a hell of a lot going on in this movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the movie doesn't work. It's like a hell of a lot. It's still better than Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Schwarzenegger and Uma Thurman and Lisa Silverstone. Which, again, not to do it with the actual actor's ability. It's just the writing stops and then, like, the directing sucks and it just falls up. The costume become too much of a hindrance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all of this. And then, you know, there's other things like Red Planet and there's going to be Prince of Egypt when he plays the voice of God. And then The Saint. You've seen The Saint.
A long time ago, yeah.
Do you remember?
Not really.
Not really? See, The Saint's a reboot from Timothy Dalton TV show. And it's like a little bit of a movie. We're talking about how we're going to adapt different shows and different films, something like that, from TV shows or from books into movies and stuff like that.
The one with Roger Moore?
Moore, not Timothy Dalton. And it was a Bond dude. Yes, Roger Moore. Yeah. Since I said Timothy Dalton, I'm like, doesn't
Saint
sound right. But
Roger Moore. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's a reboot
Saint,
of that.
Yes. Yes, I remember now. Okay, so situation. In France, we really love Roger Moore. Roger Moore is well known for James Bond.
Yeah.
For The Saint. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
I remember the opening. It's a blue opening and you see a little character coming.
Running.
What? It's very known. So everybody like him. And there is a series, he's known, where he plays a very rich bourgeois from England, best friend with an American who is a billionaire, and they live both in Monaco and they work for the Secret Service. And the series is called Amicalement Votre. But in Americans and in English, it's a different name. It was really bad for UK and America, so they did one season only. But we French people really love that series. And
really?
He played with Tony Curtis. And for us, Tony Curtis and Roger Moore, they're really cool. And what makes the series so cool is because the people, the French people who were voicing the two actors, were changing the speech and make it really cool. So you see Monte Carlo, you see the backstory of an American who came from New York, really the bottom of the barrel, became really rich, and then get bored. And then you have this bourgeois who has the higher education, who is not like the other, and he likes to fight, to be a soldier, etc. And there is the opening when you see both life of the two protagonists, the two characters, and it's really well known in France. So when people get married, there is always a dun 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 ta dun 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 ta dun, and you see the different picture of the groom and the future spouse and how they met.
I thought that's a funeral march. Isn't that the funeral march? Dun, 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 dun.
It's a beautiful...
Oh, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Yes, it sounds like this. Dun, it's basically... Dun, dun, it's very philosophic because it's like it's not because you have money you're happy. It's not because you're poor you're going to die rich. And what's the sense of life? What makes life a sense? And that really, really was a big hit in France because it was funny, two great actors, philosophical test of... What makes happiness? What's happiness? Is it success? Is it challenge? Is it waking up every morning and trying to do something, etc., etc.? And the opening song is really good. And it's a little bit sad, the opening song, but it's so 70s and good. People play it at mariage with the PowerPoint with a different life of people when they were babies, adult, teenager, how they met together, and then a beautiful video when they get married and all the hands. That's the French thing. So oh, yeah, wow, I know the scent. And I remember when they did a reboot, people didn't like it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't grow up with the Saint TV show. I was familiar with it existing, but, mm-hmm. you know, Americans, well, we only had one channel. We had NBC, where mm-hmm. I grew up. And once in a while, we get PBS. Every once in a while, public broadcasting.
You're so old. Did you meet the dinosaur? Didn't you meet dinosaur? And was the TV in color or black and white?
Yeah, fucking black and white, okay? Well, I had a black and white TV, all right? I admit that. Yes. I had a black and white fucking TV. I had a TV bigger than my fucking desk. With wow. No remotes, kids. No remotes. Black and white. You couldn't even move TVs because they're physically impossible. You couldn't steal one.
Yeah, I'm for
because you need a fucking forklift. And, but it was, yeah,
I watched an episode of, do you know the series F for Family on Netflix?
No.
No. So F for Family, it's a series created by Bill Blair about his past. It's just taken from his past, his family and stuff like that. And there is an episode where the dad buys a big TV and it's a color TV. So it's a big thing. It's a color TV, blah, 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 blah. And something happened with the TV because one of the kids played with a magnet and broke the TV. So they took back the TV to the TV show. They're like, hey, your TV doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. We want a refund on exchange. And they asked this question, did you put water on the TV? And I was watching it with friends. And I'm like, why are they asking that? And someone said, but because people used to have TVs and put plants on the top of the TV like flower, and they would water the plant, and sometimes they would water go on the TV and break the TV.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, because it was so big.
Yeah. You'd use it for a shelf space. That's how big they were. You'd actually use them for shelves.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah,
that's
and all crazy. The radiation comes up, so it was probably okay for some of the plants, but yeah, I keep watering it. I think we watered a plant as well. So if you watched The Saint, you didn't like it. I liked The Saint only because, not only because, but maybe because I didn't see the TV show. Now, you didn't probably see this one. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. It's got Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer in it.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Val Kilmer. So it's going to be like a remake of an older movie, Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. I think I watched it.
You might have. It's allegedly one of Robert Downey Jr.'s favorite movies making.
Bang, bang.
And this is about the time where Robert Downey Jr. was getting a second chance.
Crazy. He had a very bad life. Huh? He made a very good film about... that's an interesting character. He's a Nepo baby. He was a drug addict. He was a loser for a time. He had mental issue and stuff like that. He really burns a candle by the two sides, as we said in French. And he's an extra incredible actor. And it's really interesting to hear his interview. Because as you know, since I'm fluent in English, I like to watch interviews, like very long interviews of actors I always like. And he's an interesting guy. Like, he's not a bad guy. It's interesting.
Oh, no. People can have bad moments in their life. Doesn't mean they're bad people, though.
I mean, he did a good movie about Charlie Chaplin. Have you seen his movie about
Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin?
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Really good. Really good.
It is absolutely brilliant. But Val Kilmer. called Val Kilmer.
Sorry. Val Kilmer. Right.
That's right. So, yeah. I mean, okay. For Robert Downey Jr., yeah, people have bad history sometimes. And they eventually do find their way, hopefully find their way.
I watch it.
And which he did. And putting my other glasses on, so it's a little less glary. But for Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, if you ever want to see a true, it's not even like a buddy comedy. It's a very sweetheart movie. It's with Val and Robert Downey Jr. playing off each other. And Val is just a support lead. He's not the lead. He's a support role. And it works so well because he's playing like a little bit about himself, but mostly against character. Like it's the gay Perry. Like it's the wit is his. The delivery is definitely someone else's. So I think you know, of course, we can talk about Top Gun because he's been in both Top Gun movies and stuff like that. But I believe for Val Kilmer directly, I think you hit it on top of the head. Like, the people that really seen a lot of his movies may have liked it because he can really play different characters. Like, he disappears in the character. And he came from the Juilliard School, and so he's got some pretty impressive acting credentials and acting learning. But one of the other things that most people don't even know, he's also Mark Twain. He put a lot of money into making his own production of Citizen Twain. That was an amazing theatrical piece. It's a one-man show. I mean, actually, the actor is the one who did
Morrison. That's what my dad tell me. One day we had a conversation about American actor like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, stuff. And my dad don't know what's going on in America. We talk about before internet, like before TikTok, internet, Instagram, because nowadays it's really easy. Hey, what about that actor? Oh, now we know actors from Korea. During the 90s, we had no clue who were the Korean actor, except people who were watching Korean movie, where like these people were intellectual, who had money, you know.
Right.
Anyway, when my dad watched a movie, there is some movies and series, he would be like, you see that guy? Well, I saw that guy in the series, something, something. He plays the pharmacist. Or, you see that woman? She is an actress who play a lot with big movie, but she's not famous in Europe. I don't know her name. So she play the killer in that movie. She played with Robert De Niro, the mistress, and she get killed. So my dad, in his world, in this French world, he sees the American movie, and there is people who play sometimes major, role. Well, yeah. Like, for example, the secretary or policewoman or something. He's like, yeah, that's somebody who's typecast as a secretary or the doctor. But he doesn't know that person. And then I grew up. I marry an Australian. I go to Australia, America, and I watch a lot of movie and I watch a lot of series, and I realize that person is very famous. She's actually a Broadway dancer. She had a lot of movies. She had a lot of prize. She's a role actress, etc. And she became a person, and I know who that person is. But for my dad, she's just Betty the secretary, you know? But that's interesting to see.
Yeah, it depends where you grew up. Like, for Val in the United States, I think Val would be bigger in the United States than he was in most places. Val, you know, especially in speaking places, because especially if you're playing someone like Jim Morrison and the actual voice is all you, or if you're playing Doc Holliday, this is an American Western staple, Doc Holliday, or even from Heat, you know, you're playing in Heat, which is the American staple, I guess, besides The Godfather and maybe Scarface for a gangster movie. It's Heat, like a modern gangster movie. That's Heat.
You Fuccino. Have what we call in France, you have your big hits. Okay, you've got your big hits. Bam, Amélie Poulain, boom, you became famous, here we go, right? And you start to have contract with other movie, American movie or French movie, etc. And we have an expression in French, ça passe ou ça casse, it passe ou it break. So either you have a big hit and everybody knows you from the movie Hit, as a ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, right? Or you jump, like for example, Timothée Chalamet, as we said, you said. He had one movie, he got super famous, and then boom, 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 boom. He had a lot of movie, he became a hit guy, and because he's young, they started to sell him, etc. But a guy like Val Kilmer, yes, he's known for hits, but that's all. Either he goes under, and you really need to be a cinephile to know who he is, or is well-known in America, respected, excellent actor, chameleon, work in theater, work in Broadway, work there. And he has his career, but he's just not worldwide, like Timothée Chalamet. He's known. He's on the top. Yeah, well, the actor, voilà.
Yeah, not for saying anything against Timothée Chalamet, but I couldn't carry the wave with him. But Timothée also has an advantage of social media having fucking everywhere.
Correct.
Now, burn out in 5 minutes. Who knows? He might just burn out like everyone else does. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people actually had to build and build and build and build and build and build and build. Mm-hmm. So you have this aspect of it. And for longevity, like if Val's first movie was in 84 And his last movie was 2022. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't talk for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big chunk. That's 40 some years, close to it. Like, 38 years. 38 years of just film.
Yeah.
So talk to me about Timothée Chalamet 20 years from now. You know?
Agree to disagree, because I think it's also a question of contract. So you have Top Gun. He became famous with Top Gun. But even if the main protagonist is more known than him, right? He gets signed in contract, and you have two ways. Either you became famous and you choose your movie, or you follow the contract and you do the movie one, movie two, movie three. I think maybe he had the choice.
I mean, watch. It goes from Top Secret, mm-hmm. which is absolutely stellar if you haven't seen it. Real Genius, another one. Mm-hmm. To Top Gun. So he's playing more or less age, and a little bit of a younger, and then Top Gun. Mm-hmm. And then takes one, two, then does Willow. Takes mm-hmm. one, two, then does The Doors. Mm-hmm. Takes one, two, then does Tombstone. Yeah. Takes one, then does Batman. Mm-hmm. Then Heat. Mm-hmm. Then Island of Dr. Moreau, which could have been better. Ghost in the Darkness, The Saint, Prince of Egypt, At First Sight, where, you know, I don't really mention him At First Sight. That's where he plays a man who gets eyes, who gets actually the vision for the first time. It freaks him out because we take that stuff for granted. So it goes on, and then there's a string where he's either doing smaller roles or smaller films, and the string of stuff like that, and it comes back and ends with Top Gun Maverick. Not a bad way to end, really. But you see all this stuff, the longevity of it at all, but it's not one dimension or another. So we talked about a lot of the films. Was there anything you wanted to see that, I know we didn't talk that much about all the films, but is there any Val Kilmer movie that you might want to see now that you didn't before? Like, would you want to see Top Secret or Real Genius? Because I don't think you've seen those yet. Or are you going to maybe rewatch The Doors, realizing that's actually Val singing?
Oh, that's crazy. Because I didn't know it was him. I like that movie. I like that movie a lot. Like, I watch it. It's the kind of movie you watch when it's raining, and it's a lovely, lovely movie, you know. I like it.
And I'm going through some of this. I'm like, oh, I want to see this one again. I want to see that one again. And like I said, like, the beginning of, if anyone's knowing why we're doing this, not just, I know we're a horror, I guess we are sort of a horror company still, doing a Val Kilmer episode. But at the end of the day, we're also people. And I've been thinking about this. I've been, you know, on this podcast, it's going to be, I've been Jim Phoenix or whatever for however long this is. But end of the day, it's not, it's just a character I play. You know, I'm not really Jim Phoenix in real life. Mm-hmm. And very few people actually call me that in real life. And it's not my real voice. This is actually not, you've heard my real voice. Is this my real voice? No.
Your real voice, you like sound like this. Oh, sound like this.
Must be my real voice then. Right, so when going back, when I found out, when I found out he died, it was kind of like, oh shit, it's weird because, like I said, we met in 19. Oh boy, I'm dating myself now. We met in 1998. I don't know. This is back when people were like, new clubs in Vegas weren't having influencers coming in. They were having stars come in. And so Kilmer in 98 was, you know, was just done with The Doors. He just didn't quite do Heat. No, did he do Heat? No, he didn't do Heat yet. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, 95. He did Heat already. And he's just got off The Saint. You know, he's between like, coming off of Heat and coming with The Saint, right? So he was pretty big. And they would just like give money to people to come by and say, hey, look at our premiere of this new club. We've got Val Kilmer. You know, shit like that. And for right or wrong, him and I ended up at doing karaoke. Which is also why I know he can sing The Doors, because he did it with me.
No
Yeah. I know. This is like fucking 25 years ago, but still. So you have that, and it was just one of those things where it kind of comes in the right moment in my life, you know, as this kind of like this kid, not, you know, however old I was back then. And you're just trying to feel your way through shit, and you're like, oh my God, everything you do is wrong, or people want something from you, or people want, especially in Vegas, everything comes with a price. And you're just trying to like feel your way through who you really are. And he came at a time where I really just needed that, you know, just be yourself, like really just be who you are. Speech, everything else comes and goes. Like people like you or not, people be money, whatever it's going to be. Everything else comes and goes. Just really be yourself, have faith in yourself, being yourself, doing what you think you need to do instead of what you think other people want you to do. And I think that came at the right spot for me. And I always like, you know, thank him for that one. But then when he got sick, I didn't talk to him for a long ass time, and then he got sick, but I had a chance to say hi again, like, hey, you know, how you doing? And I was like, ah, fuck. Because I remember him singing The Doors with me and like this big ball of energy and having fun and just being, ah. And then we all both got old, you know, I don't know. I think he is older than me. Not no more, he's dead, but still. And I beat you. I know, right? But then it was like, I couldn't even say hi. It wasn't because I was shy. It's not that. I was like, ah. It wasn't like, hey, remember those times? You know, he can't talk anymore. I'm like, hey, remember that time we were like doing door songs until we both blew our fucking vocal cords? And, you know, it's like, oh, it's like, I can't remember anything. Like, oh, okay. No, I just didn't feel right.
Yeah,
didn't feel right. So I felt like shit for a while. It was like a punk move to do. It really is. And maybe it's because like Gilgamesh and Enduku, saying that name's wrong, where you like you see your mortality in your friend's demise. Like, yes. Oh fuck, you know, like, oh my fuck, you know, it's I'm noticing my own voice going out. No? And all this like everything losing weight, you know, yeah. So you start seeing your own demise in your friend's demise. Like, oh fuck, man. And so maybe that I was stepping away from, which is a bitch-ass move to do. And I'm sorry for that. I am. And then late last year, I think, a little bit after my birthday, I think, just started talking again. It was got like, you know, it's been enough time. I was talking to my friend, like, should I buy a ranch? Because he lost a lot of land in New Mexico. And like, he was doing some art stuff. I'm like, you know, maybe just buy the fucking... some land in New Mexico again and just go for it. So I got some cool, like, before he dies, like just the cool connection, reconnection. Right. And then he fucking dies. I'm like, oh, well, so the moral of the story is I've been very lucky this way. Usually if I fade out of your life, and sometimes it's in good terms or not good terms, but if I ever come back in your life and we reconnect, it usually means you're going to die really quickly. So get your affairs in order. I'm like, I was just driving home. I'm realizing this, like, yeah, everyone I kind of spaced away from and I came back with, they fucking die like almost immediately like that. Not you. It's been, we didn't like go like years without talking, motherfucker. We went through like a month or two.
That's why I'm still your friend.
Yeah, because if you stop being my friend, I'll come back on your ass one day. The Grim Reaper and everyone.
We're friends. It's been 15 years. Don't you understand? Well, I don't know. Nah, no. Well, you didn't die.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, but basically, to stop being my friend, death has to come in. But I get the I don't know. It's kind of like you get to say goodbye and then you kind of make things right before the end. Not because you know it's because of the end. No one knows when their end comes. But it's kind of like the random ass. I was just thinking about the day. It's just the random ass, like the luck of it all. Because I know if he would have died without me saying hello again, I would have been like, fuck me. Which makes it all about me again, which is weird. But, you know, because his death is about his family.
The thing is, you know you're going to die, right?
I ain't got plans for that.
To a doctor when I found out I had Crohn's disease. I was 20-something. Could you imagine you're 20 years old? And the doctor is like, take a seat. You've got Crohn's disease. Great. You know what I have? Is it cancer? No, it's not cancer. Fantastic. Give me the medication. And they're like, there is a problem. There is no cure. And you
Here's
realize
the pill.
You
it's the size.
You won't, yeah. It depends, people. Yeah. Some people, it's injection and stuff. It depends.
And that's the butthole.
And you realize you're fucked. You won't live till 80 years old. You're going to be sick. You need to go to the hospital and colonoscopy and stuff. And I'm like, this is bullshit. I learn English. I want to live. I want to make friends. I want to have sex. I want to have kids. I want to go to Australia. I want to go to the mountains. I want to do all the stuff. And I remember yelling at the doctor saying, that's bullshit. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not depressed. I have a schedule. I want to get out, find a work, fuck, do this. I have an allergy. I don't care. And I really say that. I want to have an allergy. And I met this lovely doctor, 85 years old, who's like, you may live till 80. You may live till 50. You may have a car accident tomorrow. You may have cancer within 20 years because of Crohn. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, all of you thinking you're going to live to 85 years old is a lie. Yes, most of the French people die at 85 years old, but it's just a very small percentage. 35% of a population born in a special year die before the age of 50 years old. Car accident, suicide, heart attack, burn, accident, murder, sometimes poison, leukemia, etc., etc., etc.
No spoilers. You can't spoil how I'm going to die.
Yeah, all those things at the same time. That's why I've known you for 15 years, and I know who you, how you are. You know, there's many times you were like, hey, I think I'm going to die, so I would like to say to you, you're an amazing girl. Please do not commit suicide or cry my death. It's Joe. So, what's up? I'm not dead yet. Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Or me. Hi, Joe. Hi, it's Emily. I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to be rushed. I would like to tell you I love you. Please kiss everyone. 2 weeks later. Yeah, hi. I've got new suppository. Yeah, it was just gas. Yeah.
Well,
bad hemorrhoids.
Yeah, well, you're making light of, you're making a joke a little bit at the end, but I do remember conversations like that because we've both been, in places where we didn't know if the next thing is the last thing.
Yeah.
And thankfully, and it's always like the, when you make those phone calls and then you don't die, it's kind of like a letdown.
Oh, last time, I'm not dead. I remember looking at the camera and you and say, I need to call you. No, don't call me. I don't like to call. No, right now. And I had this, do you remember my catheter? This big thing to feed me because I was super underweight. I was at the hospital in ICU and they just told me I had leukemia. Joseph, Jim, I love you. Jim, you're very important for me. Jim,
You can call me Joe, for fuck's sakes. It's okay. I'm Joe. Hello, everyone. My real name's Joe. Jim's a character I play.
I'm dying and I was losing weight and stuff. And like, this is the end. I've got leukemia. The blood test came back. I'm not a delusional. I want you to tell you, I really like you. And you send me a poem like, no, they cannot break us. They cannot break our spirit. You need to fight and everything, blah, 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 blah. And the next day they come to me. It's like, I, Emily, I am Gregor. There is a problem with your blood test. Yeah, it's not leukemia. Don't worry. It's just because you have a problem with Crohn's, you produce more white cell. So it is Crohn's. It's fine. Ah, so I can get out. No, you like Auschwitz. Very skinny. So do not eat too much because you heart attack. Yeah, for the people who don't understand, I'm French, but I live in Czech Republic and no one speaks English at the hospital. So they were like trying to explain to me. So no, I'm still alive and I die every 5 years or so. There's always something like, I lose weight. I'm bleeding. I don't see. I can't see. I was blind one time. I was blind for 1 month.
True story. Emily was blind when we met. This is why she likes me.
Exactly. She was blind. Yes. I'm like,
who the fuck's this guy?
Oh, he's so hot. He's so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, and then she's like, fuck, that's what he looks like? God damn it.
No, it's just that
Val Kilmer movie.
The thing with death is, we had a conversation about that, and I think we disagree on that better. I'm like, everybody I met, there is an end date. So I'm like, yes, that person, I think 6 months, that other person a year, maybe 3 years for that one, because first, I think I'm not that interesting. And number two, I think everybody use everyone. And third, I think every good thing has a end, you know. There is an expiration date, or it's just a complete story. People move out in different countries, or for example, they get babies. So you start slowly to do your life apart and blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, with death, having Crohn's disease gave me the opportunity of really enjoy every day. Like, every day is a victory. Every Sunday is the biggest victory. I plan my life in 3 months, but I don't plan my life in 2 years. I plan in 10 years. I want to do stuff, to be a better coach, and that kind of thing. But with the life we have, it's more like next week, 100%. Next month, 75%. Next trimester, 50%. End of the year, 25% if you take your medication and everything is fine. Next year,
we'll see.
Let's pray.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's at the end, that was kind of what, not to speak for him because he's dead, but I think that's what I saw with Val Kilmer, was like you start going, okay, this is it. This is me now. So what can I do and still enjoy in like one day at a time? Just enjoy it one day at a time. Like, it was painting every fucking minute, like one day at a time. It was doing arts every one day at a time. So I think that's the thing, is no matter who you are, as long as you're doing what you need to do one day at a time, that's all we can ever ask for. Everything else is just like a bonus.
Are you trying to pass a message like you're going to there around?
I don't know.
Because it's start to be scary.
Well, don't be scared. But for next time, well, this is the funnest Stream of Demons we've done. It's like the Barrel of Laughs Stream of Demons. That's more of a pain voice right here. Hey, Jimbo. So we got to like land this fucking plane, buddy. So next week, we'll do, what do you want to do? We'll think of a special. What were we talking about before? The Batman's? No, Sherlock Holmes's? We'll see. We'll see something cool for us for next time. And until then, folks, remember, you can always take an elephant to water, but it's pretty big. So you have to have a lot of water. All that's more than next Stream of Demons. Hit it. My outro. And it's going to play the out. Play us out. I know. I see you dancing with it. I'm kind of like, oh, come on. Get it in. And thanks again with Amelie all the way from Czech Republic today for coming in last minute. Flying that fucking plane, landing it like a champ, like a pro, like a video champ, like a video vamp. Oh, that's...
It's the step of a finger.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, mm-hmm. Lickety-lickety. Mm-hmm. And of course, we also need to... Yeah, motherfucker. What's the best?